Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
Edmund Burke once said that the only way evil can prosper is for good men to do nothing. America has just elected a fascist, and the best thing that good people in Ireland can do is to ring him up and ask him if it's okay to still bring the shamrock on St. Patrick's Day. I'm embarrassed by the reaction of the Irish government to what's happened in America. I can't believe the reaction from Antishuk and from the government. And I don't use the word fascist lightly. What else would you call somebody who threatens to imprison his political opponents? What else would you call somebody who threatens to not allow people of a certain religious faith into their country? What would you say, or how would you describe somebody who is threatening to deport 10 million people? What would you say about somebody who says that the media is rigged, judiciary is rigged, the political system is rigged, and then he wins an election, and the best we can come out with is a phone call to say, is it still okay to bring the shamrock? I'm appalled that a member of this House, a female member of this House, went on social media to congratulate this man. Can I just refer this House and Kahirluk and the leader of the House to the statement from Angela Merkel? Germany and America are connected by values of democracy, freedom and respect for the law and dignity of man, independent of origin, skin colour, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or political views. I offer the next President of the United States close cooperation on the basis of these values. Can the government not understand what's happening? We are at an ugly international crossroads. What's happening in Britain is appalling. What's happening across Europe is appalling. It has echoes from the 1930s, and America, the most powerful country in the world has just elected a fascist. And the best you can come out with from a government spokesperson is, well, we have to talk about foreign direct investment. We have to be conscious of American investments in Ireland. There are 50,000 Irish people illegal in America who I'm quite sure are fearful of their futures. When are we going to have the moral courage to speak in terms other than economy all the time and to realise what is happening? And if the Taoiseach of this country cannot stand as an Irishman at the crossroads of this ugly venture that the international political system is facing into and call it for what it is, then we are doing nothing. I am frightened. I am absolutely frightened for what's happening to this world and what's happening to our inability to stand up against it. I want to congratulate Colm Eastwood from the SDLP, who has said that he won't participate in the charade in St. Patrick's Day. A clear challenge to other political leaders in this country who may be more interested in their fundraising capacity in America so as not to insult potential American dollars that could come into their political coffers here in Ireland. I want to ask you, Leader, to ask the Minister for Foreign Affairs into this House and to ask him how we are supposed to deal with this monster who's just been elected President of America. Because I don't think any of us in years to come should look back at this period and not say that we did everything in our power to call out for what it is.
Hey, yo. What is the word, people? Welcome back into another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I am Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is an absolutely, positively well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular nobody. That clip I played at the top was before the Space Ghost Coast to Coast theme song. That clip I played at the top was from a senator in Ireland. Doesn't it sound like we're in, like, a movie? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't it sound like that this stuff can't be real anymore? That's how it feels to me. And I know that I promised you people. I made a promise to my audience. I had made a promise to my audience in the past that after November 8th, the election discussions will be over. But you know what? I mean, I lied. I'm sorry. Like a lot of things in this world, the election didn't go exactly as it was supposed to go. And therefore, I'm obsessed. I'm appalled. I can't get over what has gone on. And I will have to, and I am watching this every move. All right, for instance, 538.com, they have a great, polls projections thing. They may have gotten it wrong, but then it's, the science is correct. It's just, they didn't account for racism coming back to America. You know, they thought that was over. So, like, 538, I used to check it like 3-4 times a day. Now, I'm still checking the news 3-4 times a day to see what this asshole who is not my president, hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president, hashtag dump Trump. Like, I'm always looking to see what this idiot could have possibly done today. He's not even the president yet. Well, he's never going to be my president. Not hashtag not my president. And again, for all the people telling me that I need to get over it, I will point you to the last 8 years where you all claimed that Barack Obama was from Kenya and hates America. That's what you said. Not you, but, you know, the people who voted for this guy. That's what they said. That's what the right wing said. They said Obama is from Kenya and he hates America. Now, if somebody hates America, you wonder, like, how they got to be president. You know what I mean? Like, I could say a lot of things about fucking Donald Trump. Damn it, I cursed again. Okay. I could say a lot of things about Donald Trump, but I mean, I don't think he hates the country. You know, that's the only thing I'm gonna give in to. You know what? Barack Obama doesn't hate the country either. And you people are morons. And you know what else is weird? Like, we'll get into the cabinet in a little while, because that's just, the cabinet is just a den of thieves. This is my father's house and you've turned it into a den of thieves. That quote has never been more apparent and more needed in society than it is right now with the people that this asshole is surrounding himself with. But first I want to get to something that just happened this morning. This is the weekend. I record on the weekend, so I'm, you know, if something breaks on Monday or Tuesday, I'm sorry about that, but who would have thought that Hamilton could be more of a must-see play? Hamilton was already a play that you couldn't get into. It was already a play that everybody wants to go see. Everybody in the world. Did you hear the latest developments in Hamilton? Before I'll read, I got a piece from the New York Times up. It's probably got a video playing in front of it as advertisements because, you know, the media is dead. But last night, Mike Pence, vice president-elect, the guy who's said that he thinks that if you electric shock, you can take gay people, you can give them electroshock therapy, and they'll become straight. That's what he said. That's the vice president-elect. The vice president-elect, the guy who thinks if gay people go get a marriage license, they should go to jail. Not be allowed to be married, but go to jail. The sick mind. Anyway, this guy went to see Hamilton. First of all, you don't believe in anything that play is even about. So I have no idea why you're at Hamilton. So, well, let's find the article. I want to get the direct quote from the actor. I don't want to make it up. Well, I don't want to make it up like I do with the rest of the stuff with my life. My entire life. Here we go. An ad's playing. An ad is playing on my New York Times post. New York Times. The New York Times. The paper of record in the United States has ads playing on their website. Does anyone else think that maybe we should, you know, donate some of our money a little more to journalism, maybe save them a bit? I'm not saying they have to keep printing, but I don't want ads coming up on my news sites. So, this is from the Times. Hamilton, the hit Broadway musical about colonial rebels shaping the future of an unformed country, took an even more political turn at the end of its performance on Friday night. Wow. See, it's a hard thing to say, Vice President-elect Mike Pence. You want to say Pice President-elect Hike Pence. Anyway, with Vice President-elect Mike Pence attending the show, the cast used the opportunity to make a statement emphasizing the need for the new administration of President-elect Donald Trump, a Republican, to work on behalf of all Americans. It was deeply felt, an altogether rare appeal from the stage of a Broadway show, and it drew a surprisingly sharp rebuke from Mr. Trump on Saturday morning. The President-elect, who's not my President-elect and will never be my President-elect, wrote on Twitter in a post that Hamilton had, quote, harassed Mr. Pence by making the statement and had been, quote, very rude. Apologize, Mr. Trump wrote at the end of one of two posts on the matter. After the play ended, the actor who played Vice President Aaron Burr, Brandon Victor Dixon, acknowledged that Mr. Pence was in the audience and thanked him for attending and added, "We hope you will hear us out." We, sir, we are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, he said. We truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold American values to work on behalf of us. The audience broke out in enthusiastic applause and cheers. Mr. Pence was leaving as Mr. Dixon began to read the statement from the stage. A show spokesman said that Mr. Pence stood in the hallway outside the entrance of the auditorium and heard the full remarks. Mr. Pence made no comment and was photographed smiling as he left the theater, but Mr. Trump, amid meetings on Saturday with possible candidates for White House and cabinet positions, which we'll get to in a minute, inserted himself into the story with two Twitter posts before 9 a.m. Our wonderful VP, future VP, Mike Pence, was harassed last night at the theater by the cast of Hamilton. Cameras blazing. This should not happen. First of all, he wasn't harassed. I'll finish reading this, then I'll get into my... This is a good one. Remember this one for when I'm going back to trolling people's Facebooks in a second. This is also from the guy who's hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president, but the president-elect. The theater must always be a safe and special place. The cast of Hamilton was very rude last night to a very good man, Mike Pence. Apologize. Okay. Mr. Dixon, who read the statement after playing the nation's third vice president in the show, quickly replied with a post of his own. Conversation is not harassment, sir, and I appreciate Mike Pence for stopping to listen. Mike Pence had been seated in the center orchestra section, promptly visible to audience members. He appeared to engage throughout the show and applauded after most of its numbers, audience members sat near him said. When Mr. Pence entered the Richard Rogers Theater in Manhattan, he was greeted with a mix of clapping and booing, according to theatergoers who posted on Twitter. The audience gave a standing ovation during the play at the line, "Immigrants, we get the job done," when theatergoer Christy Colburn wrote on Twitter. She added, "Crowd went nuts at King George's line, when people say they hate you, and do you know how hard it is to lead? He had to stop the song." The statement that Mr. Dixon read was written by the show's creator, Lin-Manuel Miranda, its director, Thomas Kail. Kail? And the lead producer, Jeffrey Sella, with input from cast members, Mr. Sella said. We had to ask ourselves, how do we cope with this, Mr. Sella said. Our cast could barely go on stage the day after the election. The election was painful and crushing to all of us here. We all struggled with what was appropriate and respectful and proper response. We are honored that Mr. Pence attended the show, and we had this use this opportunity to express our feelings. Mr. Sella said that there was some discussion about whether it was appropriate to interject a political statement into the night, and that those involved decided to wait until the end of the performance. He said no cast members had skipped the performance to protest Mike Pence's appearance. Mr. Trump has not seen Hamilton or inquired about tickets, Mr. Sella said, adding the president-elect is welcome to attend. The show's politics, particularly its celebration of diversity and the critical role of immigrants played in the American Revolution and the early Republic, stand in sharp contrast to some of the harsh language about immigrants that Mr. Trump used during the campaign and his focus on appealing to white men with statements about returning America to, quote, the good old days. His first appointment to his cabinet and other major positions have been dominated by older white conservative men, with relatively few women or minorities under consideration for top-ranking positions at this point. One of the most acclaimed Broadway musicals in years, Hamilton has especially been celebrated by liberals for its resonant, provocative portrayal of America as a nation of immigrants, particularly with its casting of Hispanic or black actors in the role of Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the Founding Fathers. So that's from the New York Times. Mike Pence goes to Hamilton, and Hamilton has some words for him. Now, let's backtrack for a second. Because I'll tell you what happened. I woke up in the morning. I went to the Indian Reservation in Long Island to get some cheap cigarettes. That's what me and my dad do once a month. And on the way back, we went to the buffet. Now, as we're in the car, I scroll a tweet that shows Mike, it says Mike Pence was at Hamilton last night. I thought that was a joke. It had to be a joke, right? Why would Mike Pence go see Hamilton? Hamilton is all about immigration and diversity and how, you know, we made this country great and we were never here. You know what I mean? Like, white people weren't here. It was Native Americans that were here first. You can't discover land that that people were already on. And it's about colonies and stuff like that. I would think that Republicans want to forget about all that stuff. Why is Mike Pence there? People say, oh, he's trying to, you know, he's taking in, he's learning. What? He's already the vice president-elect. He should have learned already, motherfucker. It's Hamilton. I mean, who thought Hamilton could get more must-see than it is already? You can't get a ticket to Hamilton. And now you really can't get a ticket to Hamilton. People, I got... Now, they have the trending topics on Twitter here, which is, not on Twitter, on Facebook, I'm sorry. Well, they have them on Twitter, too, but I check out the ones on, I see the ones on Facebook when I log on. First of all, Facebook is becoming a place where you just can't be anymore, man. I just can't be on Facebook. I can't post anything without people trolling on me. It's all right. I'll troll you back, mofo. So then I saw my friend post on Facebook. Can't enjoy a show. Sad. They should be embarrassed. They have no class. So I'm in the car 2 hours to the reservation, 2 hours back. So I got plenty of time to insert my opinion into this, which I have been doing recently with people who... Listen, I'm not commenting on Facebook threads to try to change anyone's mind. If you support that racist asshole, you already support racism, fascism, xenophobia, misogyny. You know, I'm not gonna get you on my team with, you know, equality and stuff like that. You know, you obviously already don't listen to those. Those are things that you don't compute with. So I'm not gonna try to change anyone's mind. But when I see something that's factually incorrect, I'm gonna call you on it. And the cast of Hamilton has no class for what? It's a political show. Now, there are a lot better people than I am. If I had a Broadway show, if it was Porksatin or something, Hamel Porks, and it was starring me and the Porkettes, let me tell you something. And Mike Pence shows up, I'm not going on. You could forget that. I'm protesting the whole thing. These people were nice enough to the other people in the crowd to put on this show, a show that nobody can get into. There's no New Yorkers at Hamilton. People are like, oh, New York, I'm very ashamed of you for booing Mike Pence. First of all, First Amendment rights. The First Amendment protects our right to free speech from persecution from the government. Does it not? Okay. So how is the president-elect saying that Hamilton should apologize? It's freedom of speech. It's the thing you protect. You're all about... Why do we all want to protect the amendments that are like the second one? No, everyone wants to protect the second one. Nobody cares about any of the other ones. What about the fourth one? Does anyone listening to this who's a Second Amendment buff, do you guys know what the Fourth Amendment is? All right, so don't have an argument with me, don't have a discussion with me about guns until you can tell me what Amendments 3, 4, 5, and 6 are. We gotta live by the amendments. The amendments that were written 200 years ago by old white people that 4 out of like 1,000 people were able to read. And you know what is the definition of amendment? You made a change to something to update it? Shouldn't you think we should amend the amendments? Moving on to my, you know, some of my friends who just don't have it. Listen, I'm not going to unfriend everybody. If I've known you for years, I'm not going to unfriend you. I'm just going to, you're going to post something and I'm going to say I don't agree and that's it. But to say that the cast of Hamilton has no class, they waited to the end of the show. And then Mike Pence was leaving. And they said, wait, we hope you hear us out. Now, people could have left. You didn't need to stay. The show was over. It's not like they came to the show. It's not like, they took the show and hijacked. I would have done so much worse if that was Porks on Ice or something, man. I gotta tell you, people like Mike Pence and Donald Trump, they can't come to, like, Staten Island, man. I will find them and I will hurt them. I can't. I'm obsessed with this. I'm obsessed that our country is dying. I'm wearing a black armband every day because I'm mourning the death of my of this nation, of this great nation. It's sad and it's a shame. This great nation. So let's read the. So I wrote. I commented on one of my friend's posts. I wrote, "The cast doesn't have the right to free speech. They didn't make him go to the show. Why would he even be there? He doesn't believe in anything that play stands for." So the comment was, "I paid to watch the show, not be the show." So I wrote, "The only way, but the only way people listen to the voices of Americans, people of color and diversity, is if they could entertain rich white old people. Couldn't miss the opportunity to dude call out." Which is, by the way, you can't. Not only could you do they have the right to do that, but they have the responsibility to do that. As they had this guy in the room, you better listen. Oh, we see him? We gotta tell him how we feel. He's not gonna listen to you any other times. You have him there. So my friend goes, "Honestly, if I paid for a show, I wouldn't want to hear other nonsense. It's the wrong place, wrong time. Wrong time. Yes, you have freedom of speech, but you can't be self-centered. You have to think about the other people that paid to watch the show as well. If I was the manager of that show, even if I shared the same feelings, I wouldn't risk losing customers over this. You're a business act. Be professional about it." And then, like, my cousin hopped in, and he's like, "The white kid is on the side. The Hispanic kid should be on. Priceless." Referring to me and referring to my friend who just happens to be Hispanic, but behaves like a old, rich white man. So he writes, "Staten Island must have got to me. It's called respect. It should come from both sides. I grew up being a respectful person and respect people's space. A lot of people cry, but do nothing about it. I'm more of an action person." And then somebody wrote, "Why does respect equate to silence? This is dangerous rhetoric. The kind dictators used to throw people in jail who speak to them like that." And here we go, wait a second. Like, I just can't. Like, and again, I read a comment in this thread that said, entertainment isn't about politics. Like, I came to the show to be entertained, to get my mind off politics and stuff, not to be buried in it. Pause. That's not what entertainment's for. Entertainment is art is a reflection of mostly the tragedy that happens. Tragedy inspires art. What happened on November 8th was a freaking tragedy, and it inspired people. Entertainment is a break from work, from your job, from your family, not from politics and stuff. Politics and stuff is something that life is based on. The whole world is based on politics and not escaping it. Everything has to do with politics. Every single thing. It's called America. So to sit here and say, "I respect the protest, but I don't respect how they went about it." I mean, listen. They didn't stop the show. I would have stopped the show. Forget that. They were way more respectful than I would have been. This whole idea that, you know. And again, it goes to the people saying, "Oh, well, Trump won, and you guys, all you do is complain." But that's not what it is. This is an uprising for people that can't take it anymore. This stuff matters. And the protests outside the Trump Tower in the city, I hope they keep going. And the Million Woman March in D.C. set for inauguration, I gotta get down there. There's no way I can just sit by and let this happen. I'm obsessed. Obsessed with this. Not in a good way. Have you seen the cabinet? Meanwhile, the last comment I left on this post was like, the The last comment I made on this post was like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I took a nap. I woke up at like 7, and this thing is like 60 comments in. Here's a comment. I think you guys are tripping for no reason. This was done at the end of the show, and in no way took away from audience members' experience. The cast of a political play were moved to speak out about what is happening to our country, and I think it was brave and powerful and in no way disrespectful. Preach! Somebody wrote to me that we've heard enough about this, so I commented, I'm like, if we heard enough about this, then why is, then dude wouldn't be in the position he's in. The problem is it wasn't taken seriously, and we can't, as a country, sit back and accept this as okay. It's not okay, and we must speak up at all times. And it was after the show. We don't need to eat, sleep, and crap politics. Well, you know what? I think we do. I think we do need to eat, sleep, and crap politics because we got somebody who's never been in politics who's in charge. He's got the nuclear codes. Do you know that before you sit down with a world leader, you have to be briefed upon what the guy, you know, like, look, the president of the United States, president-elect, whatever, these people in power, they can't be expected to remember everybody's name. You know, I understand that. So, like, there are security briefings. They're like, okay, this guy's name is this. This is what he likes. The, you know, because some countries you bow, some countries you shake hands, some countries you don't touch people. You know, it's weird. Different cultures have different ways of behaving. But Donald Trump didn't even go to the briefing. He just went and met with the Japan guy. Is it Prime Minister? I don't know what the leader of Japan is, but whatever that Japan guy was, he went there. And Ivanka Trump was like, it was a great meeting. And the media was like, why were you at the meeting? You're not allowed to be at the meeting. What is going on with our country? Have you people seen the cabinet? For all you people giving me a wait and see, telling me to wait and see about this asshole, oh, we'll wait and see what he does. I'll give him a chance. First of all, I will never give racism a chance. I will never give misogyny and fascism a chance. Never in my life. Listen, I'm going to keep quoting my friend Tina on this. I will burn it to the ground before I accept it. Okay? To the fucking ground. Our founding fathers said when the democracy stops working for you and government stops working for you, you tear it down and you start a new one. But nobody got that memo. Have you seen the cabinet? Special advisor, no, chief strategist, Steve Bannon. The guy who owns Breitbart, the right-wing, alt-right, conservative news clickbait news website. What are you saying to me right now? Let's find a timeline of discretions of Steve Bannon. All right, so backtracking a bit, I had to run outside to meet my friend whose substances are helping me get through this election a little bit. So Steve Bannon, this guy, the cabinet is a den of thieves. Let's go over some things that Steve Bannon has said, the Breitbart CEO, who now is Trump's chief strategist. This is about the women's movement. He wrote, that's one of the unintended consequences of the women's liberation movement, that in fact, the women that lead this country would be feminine, they would be pro-family, and they would have husbands, they would love their children. They wouldn't be a bunch of dykes that came from the Seven Sisters schools. They wouldn't be a bunch of dykes that came from the Seven Sisters schools. That's what your chief strategist said. And Bannon also believes progressivism is essentially nothing more than a philosophy of victimhood. They are either a victim of race, they're a victim of sexual preference, they're a victim of gender. All about victimhood, and the United States is the great oppressor, not the great liberator. So, okay, so all of these people, they're just, you know, they're feeling victimized for no reason. They're making it up, right? Okay. In a court deposition, Bannon's ex-wife, Louise Picard, accused him of being an anti-Semite. She also brought charges against him of domestic violence in 1996, but they were dropped after she appeared to feel in court. Quote, the biggest problem he had with Archer, it's a school for girls, is the number of Jewish people that attended. He said he doesn't like Jews and that he doesn't like the way they raise their kids to be whiny brats and that they didn't want the girls going to school with Jews. And like this article at Good says, if Bannon's actual words don't disqualify him from holding a top position in the in Trump's White House, the headlines published at Breitbart should. Here's one. Birth control makes women unattractive and crazy. Here's another one. There's no hiring bias against women in tech. They just suck at interviews. The solution to online harassment is simple. Women should log off. Would you rather your child had feminism or cancer? World Health Organization report. Trannies 49 times higher HIV rate. After the Pulse Club massacre, it's time for gays to come home to the Republican Party. These are all things published under the guise of Steve Bannon at Breitbart News. Okay. That's your chief strategist. And that's a position that doesn't need to be confirmed by the Senate. It's a strategist. It's an advisory position. It's not a position where, you know, he needs to go to the Senate, unlike Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is the man who's been tapped, who may be the attorney general. And the New York Times calls him an insult to justice. This is in the opinion pages. Let's go back. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan nominated Jeff Sessions, then a United States attorney from Alabama, to be a federal judge. The Republican-controlled Senate rejected Mr. Sessions out of concern, based on devastating testimony from former colleagues that he was a racist. 3 decades later, Mr. Sessions, now a veteran Alabama senator, is on the verge of becoming the nation's top law enforcement official after President-elect Donald Trump tapped him on Friday to be attorney general. It would be nice to report that Mr. Sessions, who is 69, has consciously worked to dispel the shadows that cost him his judgeship. Instead, the years since his last confirmation hearing reveal a pattern of dogged animus to civil rights and the progress of Black Americans and immigrants. Based on his record, we can form a fairly clear picture of what his Justice Department would look like. For starters, forget about aggressive protection of civil rights and of voting rights in particular. Mr. Sessions called the Voting Rights Act of 1965 a, quote, piece of intrusive legislation. Under him, the department would most likely focus less on prosecutions of minority voter suppression and more on rooting out voter fraud, that hallowed conservative myth. As a federal prosecutor, Mr. Sessions brought voter fraud charges against 3 civil rights workers trying to register Black voters in rural Alabama. The prosecution turned up 14 allegedly doctored ballots out of 1.7 million ballots cast, and the jury voted to acquit. Forget also any federal criminal justice reform, which was on the cusp of passage in Congress before Mr. Trump's Law and Order campaign. Mr. Sessions strongly opposed bipartisan legislation to scale back the outrageously harsh sentences that filled federal prisons with low-level drug offenders. Instead, he called for more mandatory minimum sentences and harsher punishments for drug crimes. The one bright spot was him working with Democrats to reduce the 100-to-1 disparity between punishments for crack and powder cocaine offenses. But Mr. Sessions can do plenty of damage without congressional action. As Attorney General, he would set the guidelines prosecutors follow in deciding which cases and charges to bring. In 2013, Eric Holder ordered his prosecutors to avoid the most severe in low-level nonviolent drug cases, which has helped cut the number of absurdly long sentences for minor players. Mr. Sessions could reverse that with a stroke of a pen. He could just as easily reverse Mr. Holder's decision to not interfere with state marijuana laws, likely ramping up prosecutions even as states continue to legalize the drug for medicinal or recreational use. Quote, good people don't smoke marijuana, he said at a Senate hearing in April. I'll say that again. Good people don't smoke marijuana. That's what he said. The Attorney General. And you people think that state rights are safe. You got another thing coming. Mr. Sessions has also been the Senate's most ardent opponent of fixing the immigration system. In 2015, he proposed a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence for anyone re-entering the country illegally after being deported. That could increase the federal prison population by as much as 30%. As Mr. Trump's chief law enforcer, he's likely to fully support efforts to enlist local law enforcement in a widening dragnet for people without papers. He also, during the campaign, endorsed the idea of a ban on Muslim immigrants. Count Mr. Sessions as well among those Trump allies calling for a special prosecutor to continue investigating Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, a decision that, if he is Attorney General, would be his to make. Donald Trump ran his presidential campaign that stoked white radical resentment. His choice for Attorney General, which, like his other early choice, has been praised by white supremacists, embodies that worldview. We expect today's senators, like their predecessors in 1986, to examine Mr. Sessions' views and record with bipartisan rigor. If they do, it will be hard to imagine that they will endorse a man they once rejected for a low-level judgeship to safeguard justice for all Americans as Attorney General. Again, man, it's bad. It's bad. It's scary. All these states, they voted, they gave the American people the right to vote. And the people voted, and this administration is going to go in there, and they're just going to tear that shit down, man. They're just going to tear it down. Months ago, I talked about if Chris Christie was a turn. I said Chris Christie was the most dangerous thing to happen, was the most dangerous thing that could happen to recreational pot. That's before Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions in the 80s was prosecuting members of the Ku Klux Klan for lynching a black man. A quote from Jeff Sessions was, "You know, I didn't think the Ku Klux Klan was so bad until I found out they smoked marijuana." Let that sink in. The quote from the next attorney general, pending confirmation, is that he didn't think the Ku Klux Klan was so bad until he found out they smoked marijuana. The Ku Klux Klan. I can't believe that I'm in a place where, like, there aren't more people outraged. I can't believe I even have people commenting on stuff on Facebook arguing with me about this. This is over, man. These last 4 years since 2012 with the legal weed and all that stuff, it's gone. Denver just voted to let, you know, people smoke pot in some bars and restaurants. Not happening. It's over. If legal recreational marijuana makes it through this administration, that would be a miracle. That would be a miracle. And I'm just trying to keep it topical to things you understand because, you know, if you grew up on Staten Island and you're around all these white people and, you know, you think that that's how it is. Like I heard somebody say, you know, everyone who was on welfare has Jordans and, you know, the newest iPhone. Wait a second. Everyone? Every single person on welfare has Jordans and the new iPhone? I was on welfare till I was 18 years old. I never once had a pair of Jordans. Never once in my life. It's not everybody, it's not half, it's not even 25%. I see people buying cigarettes and beer with EBT cards. Yeah? Who takes the EBT cards? The store takes them, right? Why is the store taking that? You can't buy cat food with an EBT card or soda. Why can you buy cigarettes and beer? And again, just because you saw that, by the way, when you saw that, when you were buying your cigarettes illegally at a Chinese restaurant for less than money, breaking federal tax laws, but you're complaining that somebody next to you is buying it with an EBT card and you're buying it with cash, you're both beating the system. Cigarettes are $13 in New York City. If you go to a Chinese restaurant and they sell it to you under the table for $8, what the hell do you care what the guy next to you is using to pay? He could be paying in pennies. He could be paying in Lucky Charms. It doesn't matter. You're both breaking the law. It's hip-hop, 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 hypocrites everywhere. Everywhere. One of my friends who I know for a fact has paid for abortions before was on my Facebook page saying all lives are sacred. Could we just discuss what is going on with society? I've seen this person pay for abortions. I know for a fact it's happened. All lives are sacred. You don't have to be for abortion. Don't be a fucking liar. They're gonna overturn Roe v. Wade, man. They're gonna take away a woman's right to choose. Meanwhile, if you would just let the Affordable Care Act cover birth control, you'd have less abortions. The other day, I'm at the bus stop. Somebody drives by, they wave me over to the car. I'm on my way to school, work, but it's school. I thought it was one of these parents with a kid. And I'll be honest, I don't need that shit, man. I don't need to spend extra time with a parent who, you know, wants me to help their kid with their homework when they leave their kid at school till 5:45 at night, causing me to miss my bus and, you know, not get off till 8 o'clock, not get home till 8 o'clock, and I can barely get home in time to watch wrestling. You know what I mean? Seriously. Could barely get home in time for SmackDown. Because I get out of work at 5:45, 6 o'clock, and on Staten Island you can't go anywhere because the traffic is like crazy everywhere because there's too many cars because Staten Island has more of a population than Rhode Island, which is its own state. The biggest thing I take from this is that, alright, I'll share a little fact with you here. So the post that I was referring to, that one of my friends said that the cast of Hamilton should have respect and that they didn't go to a show to be the show and blah, blah, blah. This is a person, I swear to God this is true. I swear to God. This is a person that argued with me that there were 52 states. Swear to God. I swear to God. How many states are there? 52. No, there's not. There's 50. No, there's 50, and then there's plus Alaska and Hawaii. I'm like, no, that's not the case. He's like, yeah, get me a flag. Let's count the flag. Count the stars on the flag. Count the stars. I'm like, oh, well, that's an old flag. They didn't update the flag. It's made in China. What, like all those Make America Great Again hats? Made in China? So anyway, I'm at the bus stop. Car passes. I'm not in the mood. So I wave them off. Then I get a call. Then I see my phone ringing. It's the principal of my school. She's like, Jason, get in. I'm like, oh my God. Now, I've been wearing a safety pin on my jacket because I stand with minorities. It's a Brexit thing. You guys should do it. If you stand with people of color, people of racially ethnic backgrounds, people of diversity, LGBT, anybody who's not a rich white American, if you stand with them, wear a safety pin on your clothes. Trust me. So I'm thinking one of these kids is going to ask me what it's for. I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to end up in the principal's office of the Catholic school I work at. Of the Catholic school the Jewish kid works at. And I'm going to be getting told that my political views can't be in school. And that then I was going to like react and lose this easy freaking job that I have. And then I'll have to work for a living. And I wouldn't want to do that. First thing I do, I get in the car. She says, I don't know what's wrong with this country, Jason. She's like, I watch Bill Maher every week. I'm like, wait a second, you didn't vote for Trump? No, are you crazy? She's like, I can't, these people, she's like, these Trump supporters, I can't, she's like, I don't understand it. She actually even said that this whole, like, people arguing over religion, if people were just nice to each other, the world would be a better place. This is a Catholic school principal who is down to earth. I was like, oh my God, I don't believe I get to keep this job. She's normal. I was like, I love that you're normal. I'm so happy that you're normal. It was dry. Man, it was such a relief. You know what a relief it is that, you know, you go to work and all these people are Trump supporters and all the parents are Trump supporters and all the teachers, you know, if they were smarter, they wouldn't be teachers, so they're probably Trump supporters too. It's good that the top of the administration is on my team, because that was worrying me. I watch Bill Maher every week. And you know what she also said? I really hope that nobody who works with me made it this far, because then, you know, I think this was a secret. I was told that parents who go to the whose kids attend the school since November 8th have asked the principal, what is the deal with all the black kids that go to the school now? Wow, a lot of black kids go to the school now. Is that not sickening to anybody? First of all, it's a Catholic school, money is green, and that's it. Well, that's not first of all, that's second of all. First of all, racism sucks, and you shouldn't be seeing people of color. You should be seeing people for being people, and who they are. What they represent, not what they look like. But, now that might have been a thought that people, that adults thought in their head. But since November 8th, that becomes a thought that people think it's okay to express out loud in real life. Because this whole campaign has made it okay. Made it socially acceptable to be racist. And it's not right. And this can't be a thing that happens. So at the end of Hamilton, if Mike Pence is in the crowd, we're going to tell you about it. How we don't like it. And we're going to march in Midtown. And we're going to protest. And listen, protesting peacefully and not destroying property. I can't stress that enough. Because once we start destroying property, that just makes us look really bad. We want to get our message across, protest peacefully, and we talk about the issues. You don't want to destroy property like they did to Adam Yauch Park. Fallen Beastie Boy member. The park that's named after him in Brooklyn was graffitied with swastikas, and it says, "Go Trump." This is just beginning, folks. Listen, sometimes you go into the city and you see lots of graffiti, and it looks a little, it's like art. It looks cool because it's like, wow, this is like city life, urban. You know, it's street art expressing themselves. No, now you just see swastikas. Swastikas and Trump and go back and build a wall and all that stuff. That's becoming socially acceptable in America. And if it lasts for 4 years, this country, which is already going backwards, is going to be in a way worse place than it was 4 years ago. Well, now, as opposed to 2020. It's funny, like, people got mad at Hamilton, at the cast members of Hamilton, for expressing their opinion after the show was over, but not all of these people like Kanye West, and not one of them mentioned the fact that he said he would vote for Donald Trump, and in the middle of his show the other night, he was chanting, "Build that wall, build that wall." Nobody cares about that. Nobody said, "Oh, I didn't come here for that," you know? That was not on this kid's wall. The 52 states kid. 52 states. I'm in social studies class the other day. Well, the class is in social studies class, and I'm there working. They're talking about the 13 colonies. I might have said this last week because, to be honest with you, no, I don't think I did. I don't think I did because I think it happened this week. So there was a substitute teacher. So she's amazed that, like, when she said the colonies, she's amazed. We just got a break from the action for a second because Mr. Charlie Pants has walked in. Hey, Charlie Hebdo, what's going on, buddy? Charlie is in my room, my infamous cat. And he heard me talking about the racial injustice because the thing is, he's a half black, half white cat. So, you know, his half-black side needs to worry about this Trump administration, even though his white side is privileged. This teacher was amazed that not only that the kids couldn't name, like, which 13 colonies there were, but when she said, where's North Carolina, and one of these kids said, the North, she dropped the chalk and, like, she was like, oh, I gotta pull down a map. How do you kids not know geography? They're in 7th grade. They're 12. They're 12. Now, if they thought there were 52 states, I wouldn't be that mad about it. Not my friend who's 32 years old. You know, that's a little crazy that somebody who makes $200,000 a year thinks there's 52 states. But the teacher's like, listen, these people, and then she starts going over, like, she's like, the colonies. She's like, they came over because they were seeking religious freedom. They were forced to go to the Church of England, and they came over for religious freedom. And this kid, John, he turned to me and said, Jason. I said, yeah. He's like, wait a second. And I could see it in his mind already formulating. I'm like, say it. I know you want to say it. Ask me. He's like, but wait, religious freedom? But doesn't Donald Trump want to ban Muslims? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, but that's not American. And I'm like, I know. Talk to your parents, bro. Well, his parents probably didn't vote Trump. But, like, I'm like, talk to your friends. That's the whole point. See, these 7th graders, they think it's funny. Do you know what they were telling me? Do you know what my student was telling me? He's like, Hillary lost because she's trash. Yeah, he's saying it like it's sports. Like, Hillary didn't lose. America lost. You know? Hillary's trash. What, like the Raptors beat the Knicks in overtime? Like it's a joke. Listen, we can't all be privileged. We can't all be privileged. I thought I was going to get to some music this week, but it doesn't seem like I'm ever getting the chance to do that anymore. Because I am just, again, obsessed with this situation. And I can't get over. I can't get over how this is possible that we've made it to this point. It's sick, and it's twisted, and it's scary. And I no longer, and I can't, for the life of me, sit by and think to myself, oh, I'm going to let this happen because I think this is okay. That will never be something that happens. So I will never take my politics and save it for something else. I won't do that. This country, it's got problems. It's got serious problems. This country has serious problems, and us as individuals who don't support the racism, the misogyny, and the fascism that's going on in this country, the white supremacy, those of us who don't want to deal with that, those of us that aren't supportive of that, we can't just sit back and let the administration do what they want to do. We have to take action and take to the streets. And if you thought there were protests in the 60s, you ain't seen nothing yet, because we got smartphones. We got apps. We got flash mobs. You thought the protests in the 60s were bad. Guess what? If the cops put the hose on us, that's going to be on the news. So they can't do that. We're going to be, this country is going to be a Nazi police state, just like New York City is. And it's a damn shame. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that I haven't been, you know, musicking it up. There was some music news I wanted to talk about. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I just can't go there. I just can't sit here and talk about, oh, I really like there's a new Childish Gambino song. I haven't even listened to it because I went to click play and my internet wasn't working for a couple of minutes, so I got busy with something else. But, like, I can't sit here and enjoy things. I can't tell you about things because it's on the back burner. I'm obsessed. I'm consumed with what is going to end up being the death of America. The death of free speech. The death of every amendment besides the second one, which people can't even read. Organized militia. does not mean every right-wing nut can go get a gun. That's not what it means. Learn the Third Amendment. All right. I'm going to go. Before I get up on out of here, let me give you a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you'll get all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. That's for the fans by the fans. ChristinaRocks.com. Hang the DJ. I tweeted at her the other day. I was like, I can't believe she doesn't have Facebook. Because she still doesn't have Facebook. And I'm losing friends on Facebook fast. I need to, you know, have some people to talk to. Hit her blog, ChristinaRocks.com. Listen on Sunday mornings at 89xradio.com. She's got a throwback alternative show. She plays all of the jams. Alls of the jams. Also go to andydera.com. That's where Dera Network Podcasting Headquarters is located. That's where you get all the fantastic shows. Whether that's Jesse Unplugged, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, the flagship show, The Andy Dera Show, or the smooth, sultry tones of the J-Porks Podcast. You can get it all there. At andydera.com. Also, you can always go to jporks.com. Check out my show notes. You know, keep it locked. Like, if you're ever wondering, oh man, you know, this Dera Network website seems a little hard to navigate, which it's not, by the way, but, you know, if you're a simpleton like me, don't worry. jporks.com is where all the jporks podcasts are located. And you can get it. There's a player, Stitcher. Yada, yada, yada. And of course, every week the headlines are powered by AntiQuiet. For now, AntiQuiet.com is your source for quality. Until next week, folks, and while it is still legal recreationally in some states, wacky weed. And of course, warns Yvonne. Late.
This has been the J Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.